Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer, for those anytime easy drinking occasion.
Guys, I've been listening to y'all since this show aired.
When I turn on the Morning Rush, I want to hear Ty at his best every single day.
There are people that have saved up all year and done whatever it took just to get a ticket, just to get a glimpse at the Razorback.
Ty, fortunately, has saved the world and not yet procreated.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Clay, did Tommy alert you of the story or anything, or do I need to give you a better background of what's going on?
They're talking about with the afternoon morons.
Afternoon morons, yes. I've not heard them been called that, but yes.
You haven't heard anybody call them the afternoon morons?
I've heard us being called the morning morons, but I've not heard anyone call them the afternoon morons.
Yeah, they're the afternoon morons. I mean, it's they're the ones that have the lingerie store advertisers and, you know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that's the way they roll. So yeah, they'll say anything and take any advertising, right?
Well, it almost sounds to me like the prestigious level, like it's very prestigious in the morning. Halftime with me and Phil and Matty T, it's kind of like you get that good mix of like prestigious and goofiness, and then you go to Reskin and Zach, and all hell breaks loose.
They don't get any callers. I don't think they've ever had a caller. Everything they do is by text, and which means they're just making it up as they go. I mean, if it's by text, it's not real.
Oh man,
No voice call in. You don't know whether these people are real. I mean, it's just like, oh, we got a text from the 870. Oh, we got a text from the 501. Oh, we got a text from the 471. Sure they do. Yeah, right. They got a text.
Wow.
I mean, it's like, that's not real.
Clay had his coffee and he's zinging right now.
Clay, I will say I'm a little more skeptical of the Faith Hill story as of 4:30 or 4:35, whatever it was on yesterday. So I'll kind of give you, it seems like you have probably Tommy told you a decent idea of what was happening, but yesterday I was in studio for Ruskin and Zach, and under the impression that I was going to get a chance to interview and talk with Madison Pruitt. For those who don't know, her dad is the director of basketball ops at the University of Auburn. She was on The Bachelor at one point. She went to the University of Auburn, really just awesome girl. And Arndt had me believe as of Monday, and a lot of other people were in on this as well, that she was coming on. He put it out on social media. He talked about it on the show. Well, unfortunately, Clay, it did not go as planned. So I guess, have you ever been, not necessarily catfished, but have you ever been set up? I mean, you've been doing radio a lot longer than I had, and obviously I'm going to learn from this. Have you ever been set up before on a show?
No, not like that. Not like that.
Okay.
Well, I would say that's probably the way those guys roll. I mean, it's just, the fact that they said they could do it leads me to believe that they weren't going to be able to do it. So, I mean, if it happened by accident, that would be one thing. But for them to actually put it together and program it, no, I can't believe that they would do that, because I have never heard anything. Now, I don't listen a lot. But I've never heard anything that was organized or planned, or, I mean, it's just like they start each day without a show, and something might happen, and then they turn it into a show. Am I right?
I don't know if I'm going to go to that extent. I would say that I put in a decent amount of prep. I will say, cards on the table, I did not do as much prep for this show as I usually did, because I was a little distraught from yesterday, but if that's how you want to characterize it, I'm not exactly going to argue.
You can't trust them. Ty, you can't trust them. They're not there for real reasons. It's not a journalistic show. There's no rhyme nor reason for it. There's sometimes it's entertaining because you hear them go off the rails and you can kind of just laugh. You know, it's like, yeah, that's a show. You know, it's like they're trying to do a real drive time sports talk radio show. No, they're not. I mean, all they do is just read text. Tell me if I'm wrong.
I mean,
there's no one that calls that show.
guess we need to get some people to call him. So, Zach from Ozark texted.
No, I mean, I don't think that's possible. I don't think they have any. They probably have the ability to take calls, but I've never heard them do it. And you know, it's just there's a heavy group of sports call in people in Arkansas. Apparently, they're no longer listening to that show because they don't call.
I got a text in from Zach in Ozark, Clay. He says the reason you call them is you just get a verbal lashing from them if you call in. So, and I'm not the. What I try and do is when it comes to like someone calling.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, that's wonderful if that's what they're going to do.
There's times like I have probably been rude to a caller or two, but I try to give people the benefit of the doubt when they give their opinion on something. So I fail at that sometimes. I'd be lying if I said I did. But yeah. And speaking of callers, we got one right now. Danny is in Russellville who wants to talk about this catfish situation. Danny, you're on the Morning Rush.
Good morning, Ty. I can't believe that they used your vulnerability yesterday. I just can't believe it. But what do you expect from a couple of middle-aged adolescents? You had to know something was coming, right?
I was not 100% confident heading into that interview. I will say I was growing more and more in the idea that it was going to happen, because Zach and I'll give Ruskin and Jason Carroll and everyone, not Ruskin, excuse me, Arns and Jason and everyone else involved, they played it off really well. And they had a bunch of different like stops where I was like thinking about questioning it, but they kind of assured me. So, but yeah, I still blame myself for getting to that point where I thought it was actually going to happen.
Hey, Ty, you can't help it. You're smitten by the young lady. It happens, you know. What's the show on TV where the four guys never grow up and they're tricksters and they do tricks on people?
Impractical Jokers.
Yeah, you know, that's what that kind of reminds me of. You know, they're always pulling stuff on each other and stuff. But, hey, Ty, you're a good guy. And if it can't be Madison, there's a beautiful young lady out there. You might have to clean up your act a little bit. But,
just a little.
You're so sweet, Danny. You're being awfully sweet to Ty this morning.
Danny,
Ty's good. Ty's a good guy. He really is. And anyway, guys, I just want to – hey, Ty, you keep your chin up, okay?
Yes, sir.
Because you do a good job and, you know, you just you were vulnerable. But anyway, guys, thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely, Danny. Always happy to do it. So, I will say I did not feel in the best of spirits yesterday driving home on that show. I listened some to what people were saying, and I was getting a barrage of texts from a number of different people. But, yeah. So, and speaking of that, I want to, for those who haven't listened to it, Clay, I don't know you haven't listened to it yet, so I want to play a part of it. We'll stop it when it just kind of dozes off a little bit. But here's what happened at 4:34 yesterday on Ruskin and Zach.
4:34 on a Wednesday. It's the Ruskin and Zach Show live across Arkansas. You seem a little nervous.
I think I'm okay.
Editing your notes, and I warned you that this was a terrible, terrible plan. You don't edit at the last minute.
Feel my heart beating a little bit, but that's okay.
All right, a couple of texts, but yeah, DQ, is she good to go? Okay. Titus Witcherville says, oh my God, I'm having a nervous breakdown. Smalls Mansfield says, literally never been more excited for a radio interview. DC and Jep says, Ty's going to bomb. This is going to be a train wreck. And text out of the 479 says, Ty, there's no way this goes well for you.
Not a lot of confidence. We'll see what happens.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Let's go to the Williams Tractor Hotline and bring in Madison Pruitt from The Bachelor and other entertainment. Madison, how are you doing?
Ty, this is what's called an intervention.
Who is that? I'm trying to recognize that voice.
You don't know who that is?
Ty, this is what's called an intervention.
Oh, this
is the lesson that I think you're supposed to learn from this episode.
Okay.
Is never trust anything that comes out of Zach Arnes' mouth. I think that's the lesson you're supposed to learn from.
Now, I want to clear this I just want to clear the decks here. I cleared this with everybody. Everybody. I got permission to do all of this, set it up, drag you along. Do you know how many he ate the whole lore texts I got this morning?
I'm trying to find a sad gift that I can put out on social media.
God, I don't know if you put the sad with the angry, too, because if you want to be fully honest about the nerves that you're feeling, God, I love you like a brother, and yet here I am probably doing like the meanest thing I've ever done in radio history. And I've been in radio for 20 years. I feel like Cain who killed Abel, or vice versa, or whatever. I feel awful about it. But you know, once I agreed to say those words, I don't think I could back out.
I will say, you might eventually receive that special call. You might, because I am working very hard to get you that special call.
We did reach out to her.
I'm working all my channels to get that special call. Here's the thing. You will not be prepared for when this call comes. If it does come, you cannot have these notes. Unless you want to save them and put them. I think we all feel bad.
I don't.
Oh, man.
No, I don't feel bad at all.
But I drove.
You have no idea how hard it was not to laugh when you walked into my office, sat down, and started pounding out those notes. And I'm just sitting at my desk going, oh, my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I'm sending out pictures of it. Now,
God, I literally have 20 texts on my phone. Right now.
I'm nervous that your family and friends who like really love me since we started doing halftime together are going to hate me now in this white hot passion. But I think, Zach, Jason, I think it's important that we shut up for a moment and let Ty explain how he feels.
Dude,
right
the
now.
Floor is yours.
These texts right now. Like, I still had this small harboring feeling in the back of my stomach that this wasn't real. My sister's texting in mean words to you guys, too. There are a lot of vulgar words on my phone.
I can be mean.
Gosh.
And I've had to play along since Monday night.
Man.
And
you had me sold. I saw this like little pit, like the pause, and then I hear Phil's. Then I heard Phil's voice. I'm just like, oh. All the blood rushes out of my stomach. Man, that's
now,
tough.
To be fair, we have worked a back channel, and she may call you. And if she does, this is all worth it. Correct.
100%.
Okay.
No question.
We'll stop it there. So, I'll take solace in the fact that Arns told me their numbers in terms of streaming were up like 8 times to what they typically were yesterday, and that's just on the streaming side of things. I would assume that was the same way across the board for radio wise yesterday. Clay, can I also take solace in the fact that even though I had to go through that pain and agony yesterday, I still might get that call? Can I find anything positive to take out of what occurred yesterday?
I would think that you just wipe that away and forget that it ever happened, and you just say it was a bad dream. You know, it didn't really happen. And you know, there's things that, you know, that I've been a part of through the years. It's like, oh, I wished I hadn't done that. I wished I hadn't said that. You know, it's just like, but. Yeah, I go back to my dating days. You know, I've been married for 41 years, so it's been a long, long time. It's kind of hard to forget, but it's hard to remember it. But there's some things that I would like to forget. You know, it's like, oh no, yeah. So yeah, I'll tell one story. There was a girl that I went out with maybe once. She might have thought there was a second date, but it wasn't really a date. It was just something that mishappened. And I'm working in War Memorial Stadium, and it's well after a game, and there is an empty stadium. I promise you, there's an empty stadium. And I look down row 22 in the middle of the west stands. There's this girl waving at me. And finally, I realized she needed a ride home. She had planned to be left at the stadium, and I had to leave what I was doing, take her home a few blocks, and then come back and finish my work. And she thought that was her way of arranging a date. Bad deal. There's a couple of guys that are still alive that saw that happen. They're working in the press box too. My dad looked at me and he's like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to have to take her home. She's like, why? I said, because she's going to stand down there and wave on that 21st row up to the press box until I do. And so that was a bad deal. So there's just things in your life that you're like, oh, I can't believe this is happening. That's where you were yesterday, right?
Just, I would say that's the best equivalent, yes.
I was nervous for you yesterday.
Just why is this happening to me? And but you know, here's the solace. If you had not talked about it this morning, there's nobody that would know, because nobody hears their show. Nobody was listening. It is an unbelievable. The only people that were listening are the people that they texted and said, hey, we got Ty this afternoon. Listen, somebody like Phil, they didn't text me, so I wasn't listening yesterday. But you just, if you hadn't come on your show, which has listeners and is, you know, the stronger of the two, nobody would even know this happened, Ty, because no one listens to their show. I mean, it's not, I might hear 1 minute, you know, twice a week. I listen to it and I'm like, oh, I'm going back to PGA Tour Radio Live. PGA Tour Radio Live is better than this stuff. I mean, it just is. So nobody listens to that.
I was nervous for you.
That's
man.
My alternative, huh?
I was nervous for you. Like,
yeah, but it's just, you just have to remember that no one really heard that, so you just kind of move on. You'll be surprised. You'll go weeks without anybody walking up to you and it's like, oh, I was listening to that. Now they know about it now because you just played it, but nobody heard that live.
I was thinking about this yesterday driving home. It's like, man, do I have a more embarrassing moment in my entire life? And two stand out to me. And I guess I'm just going to air out all my dirty laundry on this show. So when I was in like fifth grade, we were just playing out at Little Rock Christian on the side field during a high school football game. And one of these girls that was in my grade decided that she was going to go on a pantsy in the guys. And instead of just pulling my shorts down, she pulled down everything. So that I would say that's probably up there as far as embarrassing moments, especially as a fifth grader. But I mean, here's the thing: you got to be able to take these things in strides. I think, Clay, I'm going to be honest. I had more people that were texting me yesterday that I think were angrier than I was. Like, I wasn't happy about the situation yesterday. But I will say this: like, it was a common. Like, you have to be able to laugh at yourself. That like the great thing about sports radio. And any good sports radio host will tell you this, is to a certain extent, you have to be self-deprecating. And I would say that was my threshold yesterday. You don't want to go much further than that as far as like getting at me or something. But I mean, to me, yes, it's a fun joke. It's something I can remember. It's something we can play on for quite some time. And it was good because there's people obviously on my side. There were people that thought it was hilarious. I think it was a good back and forth mix. It's not like completely one side or the other. I would say probably a few more people on my side, but there were some other people that thought it was really funny. And like, if I took myself out of the equation, it's funny. Like, it just is funny. And I mean, maybe it went too far. That's kind of a debate up in the air or whatever, but you also have to take yourself out of the picture sometimes when it comes to discussing this, Clay.
Yeah, I think that there's probably some good that's going to come out of this, and you don't see it yet, but there will be a hidden gem. There will be something that happens down the road that you'll say, hey, that worked out pretty nice for old Ty. It may not be what you think. It may not be with Madison or whatever her name is.
Yeah.
This is me. I have no idea who she is. I'm you know, I don't watch those kind of shows. Not involved with that kind of stuff. I mean, it just, you know, I'm over there on the outdoor channel watching somebody hunt down an elk with a bow and arrow. That's what I'm doing on the nights. Is it the Bachelor or the Bachelorette? What is that the show?
She was on the Bachelor. Maybe if this would have been a few years ago when I was doing sports radio. Did you watch Duck Dynasty at all, Clay?
Yeah, I watched that. Okay. I still do watch it.
Well, Sadie Robertson is now married, but maybe if this was something for Sadie Robertson, you could have helped me on that. because she was obviously a part of that show.
Possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I do know some people that are connected to that show, and I know some people in South Arkansas that the Robertsons duck hunt with. So, yeah, I could possibly help with you with something like that. Yeah.
Well, she's married now, so that's obviously out of the picture. But no, I listen, again, it was funny yesterday and it was entertaining, but I will always be scared. Like, as of 4:35 or whatever it was yesterday, I don't know if you've heard Zach's Faith Hill story, Clay, but I am now under the impression that that is...
You can't believe... No, it's not true.
It
anymore.
Is completely fabricated. I cannot believe...
Oh, there's no... I don't know what the story is because I haven't heard it, but I would say if there's some way that he's connecting himself to Faith Hill, it's in his dreams. It's not real.
Because I told Tommy before I left yesterday, I said, Tommy, if Zach actually gets this to work, if this actually happens, I will believe every bit of the Faith Hill story. But if not, I'm not going to believe it. Well, we know what happened yesterday as of about 4:30. So I am no longer under the impression that that Faith Hill story is true when it comes to that. But again, like, here's my thing, Clay. When I got into this industry, I told myself that I was going to be as authentic and as truthful as I can. Now, obviously, there's certain personal aspects of my life that I don't touch on, but when it comes to getting messed with or getting made, I would rather that occur than me just lie or give a load of something about. Like, I'm not going to name anyone in particular, but there's... And this is not a shot at Ruskin or Zach. Don't put the words in my mouth. But I know certain sports radio hosts and TV people and writers in this state that love to just write, read, or tell crap that's just not true about themselves. Like, I would rather, again, get messed with and and get made fun of than be just lying about myself. That's just how I am. I'd rather just be truthful, authentic, and I guess I got burned for it yesterday, but we'll see. Like you said, hopefully something positive comes out of this.
Might be many years down the road, but the best thing we can do is not talk about them. That's what they want. And the best thing to do is to someone that you don't respect or love, it's better to stay clear of them. And that's where those guys fit right now in my book.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
Now he does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house. We're number three, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
I've said this about Clay, and I could say the same thing about you. You've been a big part of me getting into this position today, so I'm very grateful for the different helps that you've helped me out over the year, and obviously, it's good to hear from you, and all our listeners on the Morning Rush, we're happy to hear from you, man.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, I guess there are 2 8s in a day. I didn't realize there was, but apparently there is.
So I remember when I was first working with John up there in Northwest Arkansas, and he was joking with you or something about like you just waking up. I mean, that's just how it is. Like my biological clock now, Dudley, is set where even on the weekends, I can't sleep past 7 or 8. And I know for you for so many years, and you've done it where you just wake up late, but you also stay up late because you're watching sports all the time, man.
Yeah, pretty much. And then I have turned it around a little bit. I'm getting up a little bit earlier these days after my interesting summer. But I'm glad to be with y'all. And, I always want to hang out with my boss,
That's one way to put it. So, Dudley, I know Arns was messaging you about the Cardinals the other day. I'm not going to go into that. But I want to talk to you about your Boston Celtics before we get into some Arkansas stuff. Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward. I mean, you guys have a rock-solid group. But I'm curious, when it comes to the Milwaukee Bucks, which is probably going to be your Eastern Conference Finals matchup, is what it's looking like. Do you think that the Celtics, do you think that Brad Stevens, are they going to be able to get past Giannis Antetokounmpo and Milwaukee?
Well, right now I'm not sure they're going to be able to get past the Philadelphia 76ers. They played well last night. Been kind of uneven during the 4 games there, going 2-2. I worry about the inside enough. Robert Williams came in and played, the former Texas A&M guy came in and played well last night, but it's you know, it's going to be tough to keep Philadelphia's inside game down. But you know, when they play well, they do have a lot of talent. So you know, I think right now, if Toronto and Milwaukee are probably the best two teams in the East, but hopefully the Celtics will get it going and get back there, and then you know, the I did have an enjoyable night last night when you have Celtics winning and the Lakers losing.
As a Thunder fan, I was happy about that as well. So, Clay, I'll kind of relate over to you now, bud. I guess I'm just doing it. Never mind then. So, Dudley, as far as Arkansas stuff goes, I know you're going to be hopping on later today when Sam Pittman is coming on at 12:30. With Coach Pittman and just the questions that he's going to be asked about, he's going to be asked about the scheduling. He's going to be asked about just the different scenarios that are going to happen with this upcoming football season. We asked Tom a little bit earlier. Dudley, what are you most interested to hear from Sam Pittman talk about today at 12:30?
Well, you know, I think it is. As minute as it may be, I look forward to hearing about how things are going so far in terms of what they're doing on the field. I know they're limited in what they can do so far, but, you know, without having spring football practice and him having to basically watch a lot of tape to see what he had on the field, I know he and the assistant coaches are probably excited to get out there and just watch and see what these guys move like, you know, what their acumen is on the field. And I know that he's very happy to be in his position and be a head coach, you know, at a major college for the first full time. But I think he's in a situation where he's very hungry, is very excited about what he has, probably, you know, wishes he had more, you know, SEC-type caliber players. But I do think that, you know, the coaching staff is a more comprehensive one that has a better vision than maybe what has been here in the last few years. And I think that they're going to get the most out of the kids that they have over there. It's still going to be a tough schedule, especially when you're playing all SEC games and you've lost 19 SEC games in a row and only won 8 of your last 36. But I do think that he has a vision, and the development of the players, I think, will probably be what we see is the greatest you know, step forward from this staff to the last staff.
Dudley, this is Clay. Give me your take on how you would analyze the 18 recruits that they have committed right now in this class. And I know they're all three stars, or the majority are. And I just wonder if this is a year that maybe the evaluations by the recruiting systems, because they can't see them in any camps, would be a little unusual and maybe not quite the norm, as far as maybe some of these guys are four-star type talents.
I do think they've got a lot of high three-stars, but you are right in that, you know, maybe only one kid is a legitimate four-star at this point. What I do think is, because of this situation with the COVID-19 and kids not being able to come to campus, the coaching staff not being able to go out there, it's really put a chink in things. And you've got to look at what they've done with that regard. I think they're number 28 in the nation, according to 24/7's rankings. I really did not expect them to be that high. When you especially consider that I think 8 of these kids have not even been to campus yet. They were able to get commitments from them through this virtual recruiting, through relationships that they've built over the phone and through various forms of social media. So I think it's you have to consider it a success where they're at. But at that same time, he knows full well and made a comment like this at the last you know, February National Signing Day, that you can't be 9th or 10th in the SEC and move up to where you want to be. Certainly they're taking baby steps, but he knows that you have to get in that top 5, top 6 to be able to make the push you want to and get up to battle with the so-called big boys. I do think, though, that I was saying that when you take what they could have happened during these last few months and what has happened, getting 11 commitments, I think, in the last 2.5 months. You have to give them a lot of credit. And one thing we'll see, you know, a lot of times you go out and you get 4 stars who've reached their ceiling, but now do you have these 3 stars and can you develop them, and do they have a higher ceiling than maybe some other people think they have? I do think that 18 commitments and really 19 with a transfer from Oklahoma that they've got, but they put themselves in pretty good position to at least walk, if not run.
Speaking with Dudley Dawson here on the Morning Rush. Dudley, you mentioned the recruiting aspect for football. I want to switch over to basketball real quick. We heard from Eric Musselman earlier this week talking about, and you wrote a little piece on this. I was reading on the Whole Hog message boards that there's no excuse for the recruiting because everyone's in the same situation in terms of the virtual aspect. And I know you have, we haven't heard a lot concerning the 2021 basketball class. They got four studs and really seven studs if you count the grad transfers this past one. The 2022 class is loaded out of its mind for this state. Just kind of what have you been hearing about the 2021 basketball class and who are some guys that Arkansas fans should keep an eye on that could commit to the Razorbacks?
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting. They're looking at a lot of high school players, Harrison Ingram being one that they're very interested in, and there's several others. But one of the things that I think we've seen since he's arrived is that he likes to check the transfer wire. He likes to look at, you know, some people that are overseas, which is, I think is going to be a little bit different than in the past. You look at a guy right now, one guy that Richard Davenport, my colleague, has written about here recently, was Anwar McGuire, who is a kid that played at Southwest Christian High School mm-hmm. for a couple of years. I hardly remember him, certainly remember the name, but he was kind of a raw player. He's now turned into quite the junior college player at Navarro, averaged 13 points, 5 rebounds, and really came strong down the end. He's a 6'9 guy, an inside out guy. I'm not going to compare him to Kevin Durant, but that has become his style of game. Somebody that can take you outside and do pretty well and get down low and make some, you know, make some hay as well. So that is, I think, the biggest guy, literally and figuratively, that they're looking at right now. He's from Australia, hiring David Patrick, the new assistant coach, who obviously was at LSU and got a commitment from this kid at UC Riverside when he was head coach there. I think that's the most logical 2021 guy that they're going to get, and then they're probably going to fill in as they go along, and probably also going to be very stingy with the scholarships because you're going to have an influx. You're going to need an influx of talent the following year as well. Mm-hmm.
You bring up Kevin Durant, which is kind of interesting because one of the themes and one of the some of the feedback that Isaiah Joe has been getting from NBA teams, execs, general managers, whoever, is that he's got to put on weight. He's got to put on weight. If you remember Kevin Durant back in his scouting empire, the dude couldn't bench 185. Now, I know Kevin Durant's skill set being 6'10", 6'11", shoot it like he can, dribble like he can. Him and Isaiah are not necessarily the most comparable. But at the same time, I look at Isaiah. Yes, he's not exactly the strongest guy on the court, but the dude can play. You just watch him. The dude can play on both ends of the floor. Dudley, when it comes to this conversation, when it comes to venturing into the next level and guys are looking at getting drafted, do you think, as far as the NBA, do you think that people overlook the agility, the strength, and that side of things more than the actual game of basketball sometimes?
Yeah. Isaiah has great skill, and he's honed his craft by shooting 500 to 1,000 shots each day. He did that way before we got into COVID-19, and somebody who's done that since his elementary school days. He has a lot of skill, and it's easier to hone that than it is to put on weight and those sorts of things. He's talked about how he arrived at 163 pounds here. He wants to be 190 by draft time next year. He's somewhere in the 180 range right now. He's never going to be a weightlifter. He's never going to be too buff, but you've got to have a modicum of physical strength to be able to compete in the NBA because they can knock you off your pedestal really quick in terms of being able to just drive through you. And that's one of the things that certainly he's going to try to add to his game in addition to the weight and strength is his ability to play outside and also be able to get to the rim a little bit more. I think that's what we're going to see mostly from him this year in terms of differentiation of his game. He's going to try and get to the rim a little bit more and also facilitate a little bit more, maybe in the same type of vein that Mason Jones did last year.
And I'll Dudley, kind of on the subject of Isaiah, when you look at his game, you mentioned some stuff that you think he needs to improve on. If there was one element that you went to Isaiah and said, hey, this is the biggest thing that you need to work on in the 2020-2021 basketball season, what would you characterize that as?
It really just, you know, kind of what I just went over. I think that his outside game is phenomenal. He's great at the free throw line. But the ability to get to the rim and while getting to the rim, get to the free throw line a little bit more. I think he hit his last 30 free throws. He's a kid that you know, is very good at the line. But you would love to see him have more attempts there than he's had in recent years. And I think that's going to be, you know, the biggest part maybe of his game that he's looked to improve. And I know that they are looking forward to incorporating his skills into what's going to be a very different basketball team. One with length and one with a lot more skill. And really, you're kind of looking at a basketball team now that should have five people on the floor that can score instead of, you know, at times playing 3-on-5 and 4-on-5 as they have in the couple of last seasons.
Dudley, what's the season for this, the ceiling for this team this season in basketball? What's the ceiling for the Razorbacks? How high can they finish?
Well, I thought they would get to the NCAA tournament even if Isaiah didn't come back. When you add him in, I see a lot of the national pundits talking about them as a possible Sweet 16 team. Certainly, I think they can get to the second weekend of the tournament if you have favorable matchups. That's a big thing. You don't want to be, you know, in that 8-9 seed deal. You want to be a little bit higher than that. So I think their goal has to be to be higher than that and get to the tournament. I think that's quite possible. I'm very interested to see how Vance Jackson, Justin Smith, and Jalen Tate are incorporated. The three graduate transfers are incorporated into this offense and defense. And also, you know, everybody's anxious to see, you know, what Connor Vanover and JT Notai are going to look like, that they've had a year in the program. And certainly Notai, you know, got to get healthy. He's going to be out the next 2-3 weeks. But Connor Vanover is finally put on a little weight. He's up to around 250, 255, I understand. And, you know, he's a heck of a matchup problem. He's not going to be the guy that goes down and just stands in the paint. But he also has worked on incorporating that part into his game over the past few years. At prep school in California and during the red shirt, or as Coach Musselman calls it, the development year at Arkansas. So I'm kind of anxious to see how that all plays into each other. They've worked on that Milwaukee Bucks offense, you know, in terms of trying to use Vance Jackson and stuff in that. So I'm very excited to see that. And, you know, I guess they'll have a national coming out party in Las Vegas at the MGM main event there right the week before Thanksgiving, and that's probably going to be the nation's first good look at an Arkansas team that has certainly redefined itself in the past 2 years.
Dudley, we'll leave it there, man. Again, we got a couple texts in here already. Ty said it's dang good to hear you on Hit That Line this morning talking all things Hogs. Got another text in here. This one comes from JW. Says, Dudley is the pride of Newport. Great Hound legend. So, Dudley, again, so many of our listeners, so many Arkansas fans, it's good to hear your voice, man. I'm glad you're doing better. And again, as just from my personal perspective, I know that you are very important to me just growing up in this business. So I appreciate you coming on the show. And again, glad to hear you're feeling better, buddy.
Yeah, he's the pride of Hogs Illustrated, too.
Yeah, I think Charles Balthus is probably the pride of Newport, but I helped Charles get where he was, and I'm not bashful about saying that. So, you know, I love Newport, and I love being back working again. And I thank everybody that supported me during this time, especially that guy there with you who's just about as good a friend as you can have. Yeah.
Didn't you tell me you were all-time assist leader down there?
Still am.
Still am. Love
Still
it.
Am.
Love it, man.
But when you have a guy that played in the NFL, a guy that was drafted in the NBA, and a guy that went on to St. Louis to play, you should know to pass the ball.
That's right. So, well, Dudley, appreciate it, buddy. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Good stuff from Dudley Dawson. Little quick tidbit on him, little story. So I keep talking about going back to these personal experiences. I got to know Dudley pretty well not only when I was interning with Bo, then I started producing John's show. Clay, I don't know if you remember, and I'm forgetting the year. I believe it was junior year that I was assigned a report that I had to do, and I did it on Dudley. I talked to you about him. I talked to Dudley, and he just really opened up to me about a bunch of different things. And obviously, I just really appreciate Dudley over the years, sticking it, jabbing me every once in a while, just having fun. And then obviously, anytime I needed something, he was there. And obviously, as a guy that's worked with you and for you for quite some time, you can tell stories a lot better than I can when it comes to his work ethic and really everything he's done for Hogs Illustrated.
Well, he's just solid as a rock, and that's my, you know, his ability to relate to people is his strength. And but he is unwavering in his you know, his work ethic. And my problem always has been with Dudley is that I got to slow him down. And if that's a problem, then you've got a good one. So every once in a while, I'm like, Dudley, you need to take a break. You know, he's like, I don't really need a day off this week. I said, no, you got to take one. It's the rules. So it's he's been forced finally to take a break the last 3 months, and I think his wife Petra has done a great job of holding him to the fire as far as getting his health in order, and now we're excited to have him back. And it is good to hear his voice and to read his stories again at Hogs Illustrated.
Yeah, no, absolutely right. And I've enjoyed reading his stuff for quite some time, and I know, again, you're happy to have him back, not only as a friend, but a worker as well, because he does fantastic work, not only on the recruiting side of things, but just writing about Arkansas sports. You love his personality, him talking, get him talking Cardinals baseball, Celtics basketball, and then his NFL team's the Dallas Cowboys. So it's always fun, and I'm sure he's excited about this upcoming season when it comes to your Dallas Cowboys. You guys are kindred spirits, Jenkins, both Dallas Cowboys.
We got to stick together.
Fans,
so. Us Cowboy fans got to stick together.
So we're
going to win the Super Bowl this year.
I think the most entertaining part of press conferences are like the pre-conversations before the coach walks in during a season, because it's always like one media member shouting to another media member, hey, what about your professional team? What about this? And everyone doesn't seem to mind when it comes to talking about that.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.